Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian, and believe it or not, I'm here with Noah Chant.
Yeah, it's on, man.
It's on.
It's on. Controversial day. We're going to talk about Trump's cabinet picks. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you have been getting into, like you were joking about this past Sunday, that you've kind of stepped away from like your usual shtick, if you'll call it. And you've been getting into just some stuff that you wouldn't normally teach on.
Politics, money.
Last week was politics, and then this past Sunday was, money, finance, giving.
Yeah, it's stuff I've not, I think I have, I had a working theology for, but I definitely wouldn't say that I had, a lot of depth in. It's out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, you probably haven't spent as much time in that topic.
No, not as much. So it's great because you're studying more, but it's hard because you're studying more.
Yeah, right.
So it's just a lot. And it's trying to condense things.
Yeah.
I love preaching on a topic for a long time, but in the same way I don't. I get panicky. Yeah.
Really?
About spreading it out. And sometimes because of that, I'd rather squeeze it all in, which is not good either because you're getting out a third of the content probably that you're writing or reading.
Right. Yeah.
And so because of that, I actually have a little bit of a harder time. It's a whole thing.
But. Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean, but it's because, I tend to think, and I don't know, I'd be curious. This will be probably a conversation for off mic.
Yeah.
This may not be interesting to everybody, but I'd be curious to know.
For our channel members only.
If you subscribe. I'd be curious to know, because I started a couple of years ago, I started thinking about the difference between people who hold different offices, whether it's an apostle and a prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist.
Sure.
Thinking about how their minds work. So in the sense of say somebody came to me for prayer and they were like, hey, I'm having this issue in my life. I'm dealing with anxiety. I need prayer for that. My natural tendency would be to go into teacher mode and I would want to ask questions and think, is there anything I can teach you?
Right.
About,
how to handle anxiety.
Can I teach you something practical that you can implement?
Sure.
Whereas you go to somebody really prophetic who will start casting out spirits of anxiety. Uh-huh. And that's not going to be my go-to.
Sure. Right.
And I think there are these natural tendencies that we have to filter life through.
And yeah. So, yeah. Well, I think, especially as communicators.
Right.
I think you're trying to... Even within a topic, you're actually trying to probably communicate different things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To a different level or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you there's a lot of factors that come into that: generational gaps, family of origin, personal preference.
Yeah.
Design. So much goes into, I think, how you communicate that it actually... I've seen effective and good communicators who basically communicate differently. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I think there's a place to be able to speak on a topic like giving and finance.
Yeah.
Just one message. I think there's a place for that. But then you and I have talked about this. If you ask me to speak on finances, I'll tell you, I need 4 weeks. Because it'll feel like peeling my fingernails off.
Yeah.
If you tell me I got to do it in 1 week,
Yeah.
And so, I don't know if that's just the teacher in me.
There's no doubt as an employee, you're a diva. You're very challenging to manage. Friends like, hey, I would love to teach on righteousness. Can I have the spring? Can I have the winter to speak on holiness? Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
It's how you want to, and I think the more I communicate, the more I realize I'm never going to say everything I want to say.
Yeah,
I'm just not.
Yeah,
and people are going to retain 50% anyway.
I know.
And then, so at the end of the day, it's giving the most clarity I can and just hoping that people take it to the Holy Spirit
right.
and do the rest.
Right.
It's, I used to worry about like, are they going to get all of this? And I just don't know if that's like a reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, we've researched that and statistics show that like, say somebody is at, you know, church every week for a year.
Yeah.
They hear 52 sermons, you know, statistics show that they'll probably remember like three of those.
Yeah, I know. Which is insane.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think to do like a one-off message is like, well, what are the chances this is going to be one of the three?
Right.
You know, whereas like if you can draw it out for a couple of weeks, it's like maybe we can build something. But all that to say, like, I do think there is, and you've obviously got the communication thing down to where like you can effectively speak on a topic like finance just one time.
Sure.
And it, you know, and you can do that well, but.
Wow. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. I wasn't in
it. Is there anything else you like about what else do you? What else like, do you think?
At least that's what I hear. I don't really
listen. I've never really been to one of your messages. there's always a funny moment where I'm preaching, and like right at the beginning, someone will get up to go do something, and then they'll come back like 30 minutes later, and I'm like, "What do you think you're going to get at this point?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, what like do you? What do you think you're going to grasp?
Yeah."
At from right. this small like 15 to 20 minutes you've gotten compared to, you know, everything else.
I know.
Anyway,
what can you do?
Tales of a Communicator, new book I'm writing.
All right, so let's talk about money, which funny enough is one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yeah, you're the king at this. Money is not a topic I enjoy talking about.
Yeah,
I think too, in my past, I think giving has been to be transparent, a struggle of mine.
Sure. We've talked about how like we all naturally lean towards certain disciplines.
We do.
So we're like, that may not be yours, but there are things that you do that I have to like pull out of myself with every ounce of discipline that
I have. Yeah. And so I think too, there is such a vulnerability in speaking out of your weakness.
Sure.
Cause I'm talking about Jesus. I'm so much like him. That's not very much. No, but like, you know, there's just, I think it's just, and like I said, I haven't studied a lot and I don't like to, I don't, you know, I kind of come from like, I don't know. I kind of come from that world of like these people don't talk about money.
Sure.
And, which is funny cause my dad's an amazing communicator on money.
Yeah, that's not, it's not like he never talked about
money.
No.
My parents are amazing givers. That's the other weird part.
Yeah.
I come from a family of like high-end givers.
Right.
More wealthy than me, so maybe there's there's a little something. No, but yeah, it's definitely, the more I talked about it though, there is a beauty sometimes when you're teaching that something's happening through you as much as it's happening, or to you as much as it's happening through you.
For sure, yeah.
And so that was definitely something that happened with this. It was fun though to kind of lay out just like basic biblical principles of it. Mm-hmm. I do love talking about like scriptural principles.
Yeah.
So that can get me, you know, mm-hmm. going.
Yeah. Because I mean, you didn't approach it like, hey guys, like here's how to get wealthy the kingdom way. Like here's how to get super rich.
Yes.
Here's the way to hack the kingdom. You know.
Yeah. Health, wealth. It and was like whatever yeah, it is. There. Yeah. Yeah.
Your approach was like, hey, here's what the Bible says.
Right. And really like, you know, we kind of broke down. There's three ways of biblical generosity that are broken down in scripture. There's tithing, offerings, and gifts to the poor. And really kind of all giving falls into those three categories of tithing, offering, gifts to the poor mm-hmm. throughout scripture. And which isn't a ton, like it's not the most complex thing in the world either.
Yeah.
Which is good. Mm-hmm. And just trying to break those down for people and get them to understand like this is not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right. This isn't a shoot the messenger thing.
Right, yeah, take it up with Paul.
Because there's days I haven't liked it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, to say that, like, oh, like, I cheerfully give the first 10% of every money I make.
Mm-hmm.
No, not all the time.
Sure.
There's times where it's like, I could do so much with this money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So specifically with tithing, I've kind of settled into...
I don't do it. Could you imagine? I'm just kind of settled into like, nah, it's not for me.
Well, and I love that you brought up that like, and this is something that that I've heard before, but one of the misconceptions about tithing is that it's an Old Testament law that's no longer
yeah,
applicable.
Sure.
It's like, well, actually, it kind of predates the law.
It does.
So, you know?
It does.
So there's that, like,
the, yeah, it can't be fulfilled. Yeah. Jesus couldn't have fulfilled the tithing because it actually precedes the law.
Yeah.
So even though Jesus fulfills the law, tithing happens before.
Yeah. Yeah. It predates the law.
It predates it.
And so I don't, you know, I don't consider it that. But the thing about tithing, what I've learned over years is that tithing sets up a rhythm in your life to which every time money comes into your hand, you do something that communicates to the Lord, I trust you.
Yes.
And it's literally just a rhythm of life that builds trust.
Right.
Money comes into my hands, Lord, I trust you. Money comes into my hands, I trust you. You are my provider. And I think that's probably one of the most powerful things about the tithe.
Yeah.
What it does to you personally.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like, the truth I have to sometimes face is, and you have said this, you know, you knocked this one out of the park, is, you know, tithing doesn't make you generous. It makes you not a thief.
Yeah.
Which is like, oof.
Yeah.
But there's a truth too. I have to realize too, like tithing is a command, not an option from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, like, in, you know, at least in our church, in our eyes. And so because of that, I don't get to sit and like, and this is something I've had to process through my own spirit, is I don't get to sit and debate with him on it or meditate on if I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to meditate with like the rules.
Yeah.
I just have to do them.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so I think that's a hard aspect because most of theology and things like that, I think, carry a lot of nuance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because of that, you're not like, everyone can hear a message and kind of take something for themselves in a different way.
Sure.
When you talk about like tithing, it's actually more like, no, like you're just, you got to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no other way you can take that.
Yeah.
Other than maybe get angry.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I think it is definitely very challenging of a topic because it's so concrete.
Yeah.
You know, theologically.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, it not only serves as a rhythm to build trust within yourself in the Lord, but it's also, it sets up a rhythm just to remind yourself, like you said on Sunday, like it's all his anyways.
Right.
It's saying like, hey,
the end of the day,
I recognize that you're my provider, that everything I have belongs to you anyways. And I'm just going to like, you know.
Right.
I'm gonna,
and there's a reality of like, and I ended the message with this Sunday, but like, we always have to keep at the forefront of our brains that we are always stewards, never owners.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't own anything. Like if it comes from the Lord, it belongs to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we are always stewards and never owners.
Right.
Which is, you know, I think something to always keep at the front of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is one of the great misconceptions about stewardship is people think that stewardship is about taking care of what you own.
Right.
When biblically, like if you do a deep dive into stewardship, stewardship is always about taking care of and managing that which belongs to somebody else.
Right.
That's like actually what it means when you break it down.
A lot of the stuff on scripture or a lot of the stuff in scripture in the parables dealing with money is about people managing other people's stuff.
Yeah.
The talents,
yep.
The vineyard, all the things are about other people managing other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Never like their own. And I think that's a like, oh, wait, this is always about somebody higher than me's ownership of something.
Right.
And what I do with it than my own, how I handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's been really helpful for Katie and I as we've like learned how to give and give more generously and more graciously. I found that the more I do that, it becomes easier the more I recognize that it actually doesn't really belong to me anyways.
Right.
Because it's not me giving my money away. It's me feeling like the Lord saying, hey, would you take some of my money from your account and put it in their account?
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it does change your mind. Mm-hmm. And I think like too, like it's okay if that's hard for people.
Yeah, for sure.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we end up not giving because it's not okay. And then we get upset. And so we don't give.
Yeah.
But like, it's okay that it can hurt.
Yeah. And I would say like just practically speaking, like if to anybody listening, if this is not like a natural thing that you lean towards, like you can start small, you know, like you don't have to go empty your bank account right now.
Hello.
But like pay for somebody's coffee when you're at the coffee shop.
Yes.
One time and just see how that feels. See how that goes. Pay for somebody's groceries, you know, just do something like that. But yeah, it's something that we can like, we can, because we talk about the other disciplines, like it's okay to pursue like incremental growth and increase. And I don't see why generosity shouldn't be the same way.
Exactly.
It's okay. It's okay to like, to incrementally grow and become more
comfortable, safe, and trusting in him. You know what I mean? And it ties back, I think a lot of it ties back into faith and realizing the New Testament does not speak of faith in God like it does faith of God.
Yeah.
And so we're not supposed to have faith in God. We're supposed to have the faith of God. Mm. And because of that, I think like once we have his faith, we see generosity, and I think in a better light. And so it's growing in the faith of God that I think will help us understand how to be faithful in generosity, to be faithful that he will be the provider. Mm. All hesitancy in generosity comes out of a unbelief in his goodness.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Yeah.
And so I think oftentimes the solution is to re-examine how good he is, mm-hmm. which hopefully builds your faith in him, which that faith comes from him.
Right.
You know, and so I think that plays a role in all of that.
Yeah.
I'm sliding out of this chair. By the end of every podcast, I'm like this. It's so insane.
I think that, and I think this, just like with everything else, it's just, you know, it's a matter of building a history and a track record with the Lord.
Yeah.
And just testing the waters and testing his faithfulness and seeing, you know, are you really good? Are you really faithful?
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, cause here's the thing, you get comfortable with tithe, which is the requirement, mm-hmm. and offering isn't.
Yeah.
Offering's out of the generosity of your heart in partnership with the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But that number normally is way scarier, mm-hmm. way higher.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that is when like it gets, every aspect of generosity gets a little more scary. So if tithing's hard, like wait till offering.
Yeah.
Wait till you have to give an offering. Wait till you have to give gifts to the poor. Like I think it gets harder and harder.
Yeah.
You know, the further down that line you go. And so each of these play, I think, together and strengthening the others also.
Yeah.
All the aspects of generosity are not within themselves alone. Mm-hmm. They all intermingle. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They all play off of each other in some form or way.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They're totally like, they totally intermingle.
Yes.
And as you practice one, it leans into the other, and that they all become easier as you practice them.
Right. And the goal is that all of them are really designed for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And one of the things you talked about that I appreciate and something I've come to realize, because because Katie and I didn't grow up like charismatic,
sure,
Pentecostal. And so there was never any like prosperity talk, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
That just wasn't really a topic.
No prosperity gospel in your world.
And so as we kind of got introduced to a little bit more of like different charismatic or like Pentecostal streams or rivers, I kind of became introduced to this like idea of like the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. And initially it was really enticing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, like the Lord just wants me to be rich. And if I just do these things, he'll make me rich, you know?
Praise God.
Right. And it sounds really great. And here's the thing is that he by nature is a giver. And so you can't avoid the reality that the Lord's going to give good gifts to his kids.
Right.
You can't avoid that. There's no getting around it.
No.
He's generous. And one of the ways he shows his love towards us is by giving and through generosity. So you can't avoid that. But I've worked really hard at, just in my own heart, like shifting my motivation in not only my tithing, but also in my generosity. Because initially it was like, well, I'm going to give, but it's because I know what's coming my way.
Yeah.
And so I'm not giving because I love you and I want to meet your needs. Mm-hmm. I'm giving because I believe that the Lord will meet my needs.
Right.
And it still remains all about me.
Right.
And so
there's still like a selfishness to it,
which I think is a really easy thing to get caught up in, mm-hmm. especially when you understand like he's going to give you things.
Yeah. He's a good father.
He's a really good father.
You know, if your earthly father loves to give you good things, how much more?
Exactly. But I think that's a really important shift that we need to make in just in our, you know, the motivation of our heart.
Yeah.
Why we tithe and why we give.
Right.
Is to, you put it, you'll remember, you had it on the, one of your slides.
Okay.
Last night. or on Sunday, but it was about like
last night.
Giving is not.
Oh, this is Wednesday.
I know, but people are listening to this later. Yeah, for us, it was last night.
I really was like, no, you're right.
But it was about like generosity is not about meeting my needs.
Oh,
I don't remember how you had it worded.
Yeah, I said at the end of the day, generosity is not about meeting my needs. Generosity is about meeting needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We move from meeting my needs when we become generous into meeting needs.
Right.
And I think that's the place is generosity is often built in how I fulfill my needs.
Right.
But generosity is actually built in how I fulfill needs.
Right.
Whether it be mine, whether it be others, mm-hmm. whether it be anyone around me.
Yeah.
And moving into how I help people do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts to shift your focus from yourself to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start noticing the people around you more. And you'll start paying attention to like the needs of people.
Yes.
And yeah. And that just kind of snowballs. And all of a sudden you start having this greater desire to be
right. It all becomes one big piece of a puzzle that plays together and you, mm-hmm. you want it more. And at the end of the day, at least, you know, it is all generosity is for you.
Yeah.
It's for your good. It is to do something in you that makes you more of a kingdom person.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you more reliant on Jesus. It makes you more comfortable in where you are. It makes you content in gain and in loss.
Yeah.
It ties all these things together for you. Mm-hmm. And generosity is about being the generosity helps us become as Christ-like as we can get.
Mm-hmm.
It is as much of a role in our formation as anything else in the Christian world is.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Plays a huge role.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is one of the most important shifts that I've been working towards in my life. And I think it's one that, we need to be aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not just giving, like there's a spiritual discipline called frugality and it's about the understanding of how we manage and spend our money and how all those things play. Like it's generosity. It's frugality. It's our relationship with money because so powerfully it is said like money's the root of all evil.
Yeah. Right.
Which is a scary statement. Like what in the world?
Yeah. That's like a really big thing to say.
Yeah, because I would think like sex.
Sure.
I would think sex is the root of all evil.
Sure.
Or power.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like money can give you all those things.
Right.
And so really there's this root found in money that we don't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I've been, you know, as I pursue things just in my personal life, that different avenues of maybe creating possible streams of income, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I am just like constantly aware of the reality that more like having more money and having more income could potentially like shift my heart a little bit towards it, you know, towards loving that.
Right.
And so I'm constantly
even
living,
just comfort in it.
And I'm constantly living in the tension of like, I believe we're called to steward wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a problem with that. If I find out somebody makes $1 million, like, that's amazing.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. I just know that in my own heart, I know that that could be a slippery slope for me to start to love the money and trust in that.
Yes.
And find my comfort in that more than in the Lord. And so I'm just like constantly living in this tension.
Right.
And honestly, I think one of the greatest antidotes to that problem is just giving.
Yes.
Practicing generosity.
Just get it out of me.
Yeah.
And like literally, like get it out of my hands, get out of my account, get it out of, you know, and I think generosity too is like with anything else, because of abuse, it's a hard topic.
Yeah, sure.
Because people have abused it and they have tremendously.
Yeah.
But just because there's abuse doesn't mean there's not truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things like, there's a way to manipulate people, which is demonic and evil. And I think wrong. And there is so much excess in the church, not just the world, but in the church, in church leaders.
Yeah.
But there is a truth that getting it out of my hands does help me realize it's not my source.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a truth.
Yeah. It's a tool for the kingdom at the end of the day.
Yep. Always.
It's a tool. Yeah.
You get it. You're rich. You get it.
I'm just like swimming over here. Brian's crazy.
Like, Brian's like, I don't even want any money at this point. I'm just,
yeah.
who wants to like, you know, go on vacation and stuff? Ugh.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. But I'm a, like, I do pay attention to, you know, what's going on around me. And I pay attention to how other people have relationship with their money and how they steward it and how they manage it. Yeah. And I just, because that just interests me.
Sure.
Because I think that's something we don't talk about in the church enough is just the reality that, like, it's harder to have a lot of money and not love it than we than we often talk about.
That's very true.
You know?
Yep.
And I want to be the person who is capable of doing both. Of having money and, like, fully and trusting the Lord.
Yeah.
And
I don't think wealth is the problem.
It's not.
I don't have a problem with anyone being wealthy.
No.
And money is never the issue. It's trust. Mm-hmm. I think it's Bill Johnson that says how much money is too much is however much you lose trust in the Lord in.
Yeah.
So for some, that's 50. For some, that's 50 million.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Their trust is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
Great job, man.
Great job, man. Yeah, no, I love it though. I think this topic is so important.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me that there are a lot of churches that never talk about money.
Yeah. And, like, I'm not trying to drop a hint, but I'll just say Brian Hess may be doing some stuff in the summer.
Summer 25
on finances and giving and understanding money and all of that.
Yeah.
So be looking out this summer.
When I said at the beginning of this episode that, like, if you ever asked me to speak on
giving,
that I'd need at least 4 weeks.
Yeah.
For you guys listening, that wasn't a joke. I literally told Noah.
And he got him. He got him, baby. Like,
if we're going to do it one time, we're going to do it. You
know, yeah, we're going to go for it. So he got him.
Yeah.
He's a hard to work with, but can't live with him, can't live without him, is what I always say by Brian Hess.
That's the sweet spot, right?
That's the sweet spot. The tension of never wanting to see you again and wanting to be with you all the time.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's land this plane.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. That was good. That was good. I hope people find, I don't know, comfort or encouragement in just in, like, thinking about this and kind of going after this.
And process it with the Lord.
Yeah.
Just process things with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Take the message, take the notes, take all of it and bring it before the Lord and process it. Mm-hmm. Work in your own heart. Practice generosity.
Yeah.
Don't like achieve generosity. Just practice generosity.
Right.
That's all the ask is you practice generosity.
Yeah. Because I do think, and we can end with this, but I was reading John Mark Comer's most recent book,
Practicing the Way.
Great read, by the way.
Yeah.
Wow. And he was talking about that very thing of, like, of differentiating between, like, achieving discipline and, like, practicing discipline.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, like the Bible has a lot to say about, like, don't be anxious.
Yes.
For somebody who has a lot of anxiety, it's not helpful to say, have no anxiety. That's not helpful.
Right.
But what is helpful is to offer, like, practical ways for them to to gradually and incrementally work towards having no anxiety.
Right.
And so, and we would say that about prayer too.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody never prays, it's better that you pray 5 minutes in the morning than never at all.
Right.
And that 5 minutes may turn into 10.
Yes.
And that, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's incremental. It's practice.
It is.
Incremental growth. No one's asking you to achieve anything in this kingdom.
Right.
They're just asking you to partner.
Right.
And that's just different. And the same thing goes with generosity.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome. Great. Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be it for this episode. For everybody who listened and watched, thank you, and we appreciate you guys. And we will see you next week.